Say with me, correcting errors. Say it again. Say correcting errors. I was praying yesterday and the Lord shared with me a word. And I want to share it with you and hoping that it will come through this way or the right way. Before I do that, I want to minister or prophesy to some, but what I will do is I will wait till after the word. And then when we pray, we're going to pray for your finances. So I'll wait till after the word. And then I want to prophesy to some, just some people that the Lord spoke to me about. So go through to Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5. Let's get into this immediately. Say with me, correcting errors. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5. Yo, this mic is for me is much better. I don't know why the guys kept saying to me, that is right, that is right, that is right. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun. The preacher is saying. And he's saying that there is an evil, so if an evil, which I have seen under the sun, it is an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Put in the King James Version for me. In the Amplified Version. Amplified Version. There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, like an error which proceeds from the ruler. Folly. Now listen to this. He's trying to say what evil there is. Folly is set in great dignity and in high places, and the rich is still in low places. I have seen slaves on horses and princes walking like slaves on the earth. Let me read out of New King James. Are you guys with me? So the preacher in Ecclesiastes is saying this. He's saying that there's an error in this life that I've seen. But this error needs to be corrected. He said, I've seen servants on horses while princes walk on the ground like servants. No, man, put it for me verse from the beginning, verse 5. There is an evil I have seen under the sun as an error proceeding from this ruler. He says, folly, stupidity, foolishness is set in great dignity while the rich sits in low places. Are you guys with me? And then he says, I have seen servants on horses while princes walk on the ground like servants. You're not too enthusiastic, so I'll explain now. For some, I know it'll go over your head. For some are unsaved, some are too carnal, some have too much flesh. And maybe for a little bit, this makes sense. He's saying that if you look at South Africa, we have seen those who have not earned anything, but have received much and live like kings, while destroying their people. Are you guys with me? While those who are rich, or those who should be in those places, are the ones that is walking on the ground like servants. And the preacher in Ecclesiastes is saying, this is an error. So I want to title this morning, correcting errors. Because I have seen people in the body of Christ and Christians, they can pray and intercede, they can pray for many hours, they can do a lot of things, yet they have no money. Are you guys with me? And I don't even want to preach in this church. I don't ever want to preach in this church on money and then there be silence. So if there is, you will not feel well, or if you are, you will not feel welcome here eventually. Because you cannot eat bread without money. You cannot feed your children without money. And in fact, 99% of your prayer list is answered by money. That is it. So people must stop getting super spiritual and stuff like that. It does them nothing but put a curse on their family. When they say, oh, it's the will of God for me to be poor. It's the will of God for me to have nothing. Just a small little house. This is what God has ordained for you. You don't serve the God that I serve. The Bible says that he rejoices in the prosperity of his saints. In another translation, it says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Meaning there are two things that pleases God: faith and prosperity. I'm going to say it again. There's two things that please God: faith and prosperity. Are you guys with me? So once you prosper, you bring pleasure to him. Once God looks at you, what parent can't look at their child and begin to think that and see them prospering, having a house, having a car, doing well financially, and is not happy about it? Yet we have painted and created this image of God in our minds, that this is how God is. Just because some preachers or some churches has always taught that poverty is spirituality. Poverty is demonic. That's what it is. Are you guys with me? There is nothing spiritual about poverty. Absolutely nothing. Once that thing has a hold of your life, it will destroy you. The Bible says that the poverty of a poor man destroys him. And the wealth of a rich man is a city to him. I'm going to say it again. The poverty of a poor man destroys him. Okay, so poor is not poverty. Poor just means I don't have money in my bank account. But poverty is the spirit that comes in, the mindset that comes in, and the lack of creativity, but the spirit that comes in, and it destroys your, it destroys the poor man's life. Meaning that when you don't have money, poverty, then poverty comes like a spirit to you, to destroy you. But a rich man's wealth is a city and a defense, the Bible says. Meaning when everything goes chaos, a rich man can at least sit under a covering. I don't know if you guys are with me. So even though it's a month of prayer and grace, the Lord said to me, there's an error that needs to be corrected. There's an error in this life where I have seen the poor being enriched, the foolish being in rich places, and those who are rich, those who are kings, those who are priests, those who are princes, are in walking on the ground. How many of you know that we are kings and priests unto our God? He has made us kings and priests. So the preacher is saying there's an error in life that has to be corrected. Are you guys with me? So go with me as we jump to this. Go with me to Matthew 17. I want to be finished in like 15 minutes, 20 minutes so that I can pray for you. So that I can be out of here in time. Matthew 17, verse 19. Azadun. Say with me, correcting errors. What is this thing in life that you end up the same as your parents or worse off than your parents? When there's supposed to be a generational blessing that we end off better than them. When there's a going back, there's a curse that is active. Let me explain. Once parents are doing one way, doing well, and kids are not catching up or going beyond, there's a curse that is at play. Are you guys with me? Now listen to this. Let's go, let's read from, let's read from verse 14. Verse 14. Zaharuska abrekere dena mambradushka tabaye tete. Zedano soton. Zedana. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. Let's jump to the Amplified. For he is an epileptic. For he has epilepsy, is moonstruck, and he suffers terribly. For frequently he falls into the fire and many times into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to cure him. And Jesus answered, O you unbelieving, warped, wayward, rebellious, and thoroughly perverse generation, how long am I to remain with you? You can see a woman wrote Amplified. How long am I remain with you? How long am I to bear with you? to bring him here to me. So bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Say with me, instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked him privately. So some had the guts to come and ask the elephant in the room, why could we not drive it out? Say with me, drive it out. Devils, as much as what they are cast out, the process means to be driven out. I don't know how to explain it, but it is a process that requires aggression. Are you guys with me? That requires authority, power, and aggression to drive something out. But now it goes on, he says in verse 20, he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. So your faith is little. Because of the littleness of your faith, that is your lack of firmly relying trust, for truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, say with me, faith that is alive. You have faith that is dead and you have faith that is alive. You have little faith, small faith, great faith. Like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move here to yonder place, and it will move. Now listen to this. And nothing, say with me, nothing will be impossible to you. Say this with me. Say, nothing will be impossible for me. So he's saying that there is a faith that touches the realm of impossibility. That once a person carries this faith upon their lives, nothing is impossible. And he went so far to say, listen here, you can look at a mountain and you can tell it to move. Listen, a lot of people came to me and said, spiritual mountains. No, no, no. Jesus said, nothing is impossible. So if you say it is impossible for you to speak to a mountain of him to move, you're saying Jesus is a liar. Are you guys with me? So nothing will be impossible to you. Verse 21. Now listen to this. But this kind, certainly this kind, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Okay, so with a fasting. Now, a lot of us believe, and scholars would say that he talks about this kind of demon, and that is one interpretation. But the context of that story is twofold. The context of the story is demonic, but it's also speaking more on unbelief. So when you look at this verse, it is directly after Jesus telling them they don't have the kind of belief they need to cast out this devil. Meaning they need it. So a lot of people think I need to fast or pray to cast out a devil. It's right, but it is wrong. The scripture is more that you have to fast so your faith to be increased, so that a certain kind of faith can come upon you to deal with a situation. So now he's saying, he says, this kind, say with you, this kind. So he's saying, this kind of faith does not go out of you except by prayer and fasting. Meaning I'm looking for a faith. The Bible says, when Jesus says, when I come back to the earth, I will be looking for this type of faith. And will I find such faith on the earth? He's looking for a faith to come out of a person. The faith, sympathy of impossibilities. That he's saying, listen here, there's a key that Jesus is saying. He says, if you fast, when you fast, say when I fast. It's not a matter of if or when, it is when I fast. Nothing, say with me, nothing will be impossible for me. Are you guys with me? So faith, so this fasting that makes you touch a realm of impossibilities. Meaning, if you can think in your life now, anything that is impossible. I want to be a millionaire. It's impossible. I want to have 3 houses, a holiday house, another house, another house. Just, you know, some people say, but you don't need. Jesus is not here to bless our needs. When you hang around with people with that mindset, you end up with nothing. Whenever you hear somebody say, yeah, but what do you need this car for? Or what do you need this house for? Shut up, you devil. Meaning your vision is so low or so small. Just because you see small-sighted, near-sighted, you're small-minded. Don't make me small-minded. Are you guys with me? So the prayer lines are open for those who need prayer right now. It's in the comments. You can even just type. They'll answer you and they'll give you the numbers. We have our numbers for every country that you can get into. And so hanging around people with small faith, you will have small faith. Hanging around people with large faith, you will have large faith. Faith, say with me, is muscles. It must be stretched. Everything about it must be stretched. If I give this day 1,000, I cannot next time just give 100 if I want to give a sacrificial seed. My faith will push me beyond all the time because your spirit is constantly growing. Are you guys with me? But anyway, as I was asking the Lord, what is this error and how can it be corrected? That the kings are walking on the ground and the foolish is in places of kingship and rulership and the rich are walking the ground. What is this foolishness or this error that is going on? And he took me to this verse and he says, nothing is impossible to the one who begins to fast. Now just stay with me because we talked and preached on prayer. Are you guys with me? And there's a spirit, there's a grace of prayer. There's a grace for prayer. There's a spirit of grace that comes upon people and it enables them to see God and begin to pray. But in the same way, there is a spirit of fasting that can come upon people where it enables and empowers them to begin to fast. And the Lord said to me that there's a transition that we are going through. There's a season shift and a season change. And when I speak about a season shift and a season change or a transition, I'm not saying that people will move away or go to this church or no. When you climb in a car and you're driving in gear one and you begin to shift and transition or shift gears, you don't climb out of the car and walk to another car. You shift the gears. Are you guys with me? So the devil has caught a lot of people with this thing that, you know, my season is over. They don't have a clue. You know how many emails we get of people that are saying, I have no idea what the Lord is going to do. Well, you better sit down. Because you can only move by faith. And faith can only come not by, I don't know what the Lord is going to do. No. When I planted the church, an angel said to me, you'll plant the church. I knew exactly what to do. Let's just expose it for what it really is, your rebellious vagabond spirit that doesn't want to submit to authority. And you're upset because you were told by one of the leaders to do something that you didn't want to do. And now you got offended because how dare they speak to me like that? I also have an anointing and the devil grabbed your heart. And they leave the church one after the other. How dare Pastor Marie say to me that I'm not allowed to lay hands on that one and pray for... Well, if you outside and a police officer tell you not to do something, will you say yes or no? It's called authority. How dare... You better be careful that your children don't take those personality or those attitudes and get grown up like that. We have this LGBTQ plus SR nonsense, transgender nonsense in the church, liberal nonsense. We anyway flagged, I don't care. Facebook anyway doesn't get numbers, I don't care. You know? You have this coming into the church where now the church begins to demand to you what you need to do. It is a spirit. How did the original sin start with with Lucifer. We think it is pride and envy. But how did sin get into a place that was pure, into a being that was pure? Yes, God gave the beings options when it comes to angels. And that is why it's better to listen to the Holy Spirit first before an angel, because an angel can be impure. Anyway, that is a whole another thing. You know, the Holy Spirit is perfect in all His ways. So, but how did sin come in? Lucifer took two good things that was never meant to be together, and he put them together. If we think same-sex stuff started recently, I mean, it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was before the flood by Noah. It was pre-Adamite, which we will be doing a teaching, maybe a course on pre-Adamite. Then we can show you the reptilianoids and so on that lived during that time, and the intelligence that they had and that was left over to into this world, and how Satan crept into the garden and how the snake was standing on two feet. He was a reptilianoid. He had intelligence. It was a different type of people, and you'll see water spirits and so on. And anyway, and that is where the mermaids come from, when people have a picture of mermaids. Please understand, when they make movies, it doesn't just appear out of nowhere. It comes from somewhere. So the Bible is very clear on a pre-Adamic race. So then, you know, the angels come down, sleep with the daughters of men. Then the men is like, no. You know, we've given all our daughters already to them to marry. Let's begin to rape the angels, because we see the moment there's a sexual intercourse, there's contracts that are being exchanged, and there's technology that is being exchanged. That's how they built the Tower of Babel. There's technology that is being exchanged, because the Tower of Babel was a stargate that can go into another dimension, not up high, but go into another dimension. Touch heaven, Jesus, the Lord said. And anything they can imagine, they will be able to do. And then we see it happening and happening and happening again, so much so that the end time agenda is what is happening currently in today, which is that even the Antichrist will be homosexual. The Bible says he will have no desire for women. Now that is a very intricate saying, because it can mean quite a few things. So the theologians would tell you that he would be just a normal man, just no desire for women, which is very strange. You've got issues when that is the case. Or he will be homosexual, or he will be a transgender. And it isn't by chance that the whole transgender movement came in right now, as we are gearing towards the end of his return and the end of the age. Now, when I give the number of the end of the age, a lot of people will be shocked. They think it is now. We did some statistical probabilities and we gave some numbers, but it's not. That's just a statistical probability. But actually, when you bring in one other concept, you actually see the real number, and I'm not ready to explain that. It's not anything soon, but I'm not ready to explain. Understand, I'm speaking of the end of the age, not just Jesus returning. Okay, so, because there'll still be 1,000 years. Am I right? Yeah, there'll be 1,000 years. Still of the millennial reign on this earth before this earth is destroyed. But so never think that this whole thing, an agenda that they're pushing on television with your kids, you know, I mean, listen, he, she, they, what is all this stuff? They, thee, them, him, he, his. And you're going to push that onto my kids? There's absolutely no, you know, so I'm speaking to some Americans. I'm like, listen, it's not going to go down in, maybe Cape Town, but not in, not in South Africa. You know, not yet. Yeah, you're going to get one slap, and the kids are going to get slapped. So it is a very demonic agenda. Very demonic. Very anti-God. We can go read Romans 1, the whole chapter on it, on what God's judgment is on that. So the Lord said to me, fasting. Let's go Matthew 6, verse 16. Moreover, now listen to this. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. Say with me, openly. Now, this is what the Lord said to me. He said to me, actually, we're in a transition and a season change. This is where I went off a little bit. Sorry about that. But we're on a transition change with the church. We're going into a next gear. But even though we called for prayer and we're doing it for like maybe a month or two, the Lord said to me that I'm going to encourage the people, and I'm going to be doing it to fast on a Wednesday as well when we pray, just for one day. A lot of people think they must fast 21 days or 40 days. No, just fast one day. But then obviously by our Pentecost conference, I'm going to encourage everybody to do 1 week of fasting. And those who can, to do a liquid fast or a water fast, those who can. But, you know, there is things that fasting does for you. And we're going to be preaching on that over the next 3 weeks. You'll see how it will change your spiritual capacity, how it will increase grace upon your life. Fasting will make you famous, will make you known. Fasting will give you a reputation. Fasting will cause sickness to drop away. The only thing is that Christians don't practice fasting the right way. Are you guys with me? And because they don't practice fasting the right way, they lose the benefits of it. But there's a way to fast where you can upgrade your body. Remember, as I always say, you have your glorified body, but in a seed form. That this body will be cast into the ground and will be sown into the earth, into the soil, and will be raised an incorruptible body. So because this body will be sown means that this body is a seed of what? Of the glorious body. Are you guys with me? And in our partner's prophetic retreat that's coming up, we'll teach on the 10th angelic form. And who is the 10th angelic form? And in no way am I saying you're an angel, okay? So just don't think too highly of yourself yet. But we'll speak on, we were going to go into a lot of new creation realities and how to open the eyes of the prophetic. A lot of people go off now, third eye is evil, this is evil. We know third eye is evil, but it doesn't mean your spiritual eyes are evil. Are you guys with me? And a third eye is simply an unsanctified spiritual eyes. That's it. But it comes from the same biological makeup that God uses to meet His people, that I get into the prophetic retreat, and it's going to be an amazing time. It's going to be online, but we might have physical sessions, I think. Like, I think we're going to sit, and then people can attend, those who are nearby, the rest are online. I think that's what we're going to do, you know, so that we can prophesy properly and minister properly. So, going through to Isaiah 58 verse 5. Say with the right way and a wrong way to fast. So I want to touch on this, and this is what the Lord opened to me yesterday, and I'm just going to read the scripture plainly until we finish, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm just going to read the scripture, and revelation is going to come. Isaiah 58 verse 5. So He's saying, listen here, is such a fast, in fact, let me start from verse 1, Isaiah 58 verse 1. I'll just flow the way I have it here. Verse 2. Go through out of the Amplified. Yet they seek, inquire for, and require me daily. I want you to open your Bible, make notes on this verse, because this verse will bless you when it comes to fasting. I'm going to give you two portions of scripture. My ways, as if they were in reality, a nation did not righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Let me explain this. So He says, my people are looking to draw near to me. Why we fasted, they say. Why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? The people complain. They say, God, why are we fasting and you don't see it? Why have we afflicted ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins. God is saying to them, when you should be grieving for your sins, you found profit in your business. And instead of stopping all work as the law implies, now we know we're not under the law, applies, and your workmen should do, you extort you from hired servants a full amount of labor. The facts are that you fast only for strife and debate and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Eating as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. Fasting. Fasting as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. Anyway, say this with me. Say eating, that was of the Spirit, as you do today, will not cause your voice. Listen, Satan loves when you have food in your body. Because the moment you have food in your body, you have toxins in your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The glory of God and the light of God can only operate through your body to the degree of the health of your body. The moment you touch food, now please don't become a cult and like just stop eating. Okay, I understand passion, but I'm bringing in the truth. I eat very little because I feel that I'm more spiritually heightened the less I eat. Because the moment you eat, you have food in, your body becomes dense. Now, when you would look in the natural world, the Bible says the spiritual man cannot perceive the things of the natural man cannot perceive the things of the spirit. And the spiritual man judges all things, discerns all things. So you have natural, carnal, and you have spiritual. So Adam and Eve fell into the natural. When they fell, they fell. So they fell, which means they come from a high place to a low place. So they came from a place that is less dense to a place that is more dense. Anything that is dense drops down. Are you guys with me? So the more dense I become, the more I fall down. So what makes a person dense? Any carnal behavior, sexual lusts. That's what I'm saying. What is this whole LGBTQ movement? It is making people into such a carnal state that they cannot see God anymore. For it is the pure in heart that will see God. That word purity is the same as holiness. The word holiness equals integrity, which means to be integrally full, to be integrated, which means there's not one side of you thinking, I'm going to do this, and the other one thinking, I'm going to do that. The one thinking, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to do that way. I'm saying one thing, but I mean another thing. I'm a boy, I'm a girl, I'm a 13-year-old. You're integrated. Integration means holiness. Holiness means purity. Purity, those who are pure, they shall see God. So what does fasting do? It brings an integration to a person. It makes their eye single. Are you guys with me? Let's get in. Have your seat. So the devil hates it when food is in your body. Because he knows you're about to be enlightened. What do you do when you fast? A lot of people just go on a diet when they fast. When you fast, you should be praying, but that's okay. But you must be meditating. Are you mature now that we've taught on meditation for a whole month? What is meditation? The art of contemplation, the prayer of contemplation, where you just sit still. No namaste nonsense. No gongs playing and stuff like that. Just silence. You can maybe put on some music. You can maybe put on some correct frequency music, godly frequency music. You can put on, what I mean by that, there's a frequency that worship or instrumentals can touch the glory. We can sing one worship song and it's flat. Then you sing another worship song and it's anointed. Why? The one touched the glory before. Whenever something has touched the glory before, it always carries glory with it. Are you guys with me? So you sit in your room and you just meditate. You pray, you worship, and you're going to hear sounds coming out of your mouth that works on frequency and tone rather than language. Because you're now becoming less dense and you're becoming in touch with the spiritual realm. You're getting in touch with God. Please understand, the spiritual realm, which is the fourth dimension, is a very dark place. God is not there. Are you guys with me? The fourth dimension is a dark place. God is not there. That is where people get into trouble. Is it an angel? Is it a devil? Is it this? Is it that? It's a very, very dark place. But that's why you can only enter into the spiritual realm with Christ and with the light of God, where my word will be a lamp unto your feet and you will be able to walk and you'll be able to see. Otherwise, you eat of the fruit of knowledge and you enter another way in, then you get bound by the spirit of witchcraft. Okay, and divination. So that's how those things work. But you become less dense when you fast. So now food doesn't enter into your body. You eat plants. So now it works on photosynthesis and how sun begins to feed the plants. There's another sun that now begins to feed you, which is Christ and the glory of God. For there will be no sun in heaven, for the glory of God will be the sun of heaven. So now the law of spiritual photosynthesis begins to take place upon your life. And all of a sudden you feel like health comes into your bones. Health comes into your body in every area. Yeah, because there's a light that is beginning to shine on you. And your light is beginning to break forth. Are you guys with me? So have you seen? Let me get into this. I don't want to. I'm already over time. So he says, listen here, you're doing all these wrong things. You're fasting wrong. He says, but when you, he says, your voice will not be heard on high. He says, your voice will not be heard on high. I mean, if you fast correctly, your voice will be heard on high. Then let's go on. Is Saul is fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth? What is Jesus saying? Listen here. Is it only to impress others? Verse 6, rather is not this fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke? He said, this fast is to do deliverance. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into... Now, a lot of people say, we mustn't fast on water and food. We must feed the homeless. No, that's not what it's saying. It's just saying when you fast, make sure you do, you actually mean it on the outside. That if you see somebody in need, help them. Are you guys with me? Because otherwise you become a hypocrite. I'm fasting, but everybody's in need around you and you do not help them. That's basically what he's saying. So have things in context. Be whole. Have integrity. He says, so when you do these things, clothe the naked, feed the poor. Verse 8, then shall your light, say with me, then shall my light break forth like the morning. So number one, what will happen when it comes to benefits of fasting, say my light will break forth. Meaning there'll be a light that'll come upon your life. The first thing that happens when you fast, by day three or day four, your eyes begin to carry light. Because you are no longer dense. The Spirit of God can actually begin to work in your life. You have unclogged certain pipes, physically and spiritually. Are you guys with me? Now all of a sudden when you pray, it feels like your prayers is reaching heaven. Because there's a light that is upon you. What happens when light comes on you? Go with it to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 verse 1. What happens when light goes on you? Quickly guys. Isaiah 60 verse 1. I'm going to read. Arise. Say with me, arise. From the depression. Change the stuff, guys. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine and be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then he goes on, he says, his glory shall be seen on you. Verse 3, he says, a nation shall come to your light. Say, nations will come to my light. And kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes. Open your spiritual eyes round about you and begin to see. They all gather around you, and I'm going to bring your sons and your daughters from far. He says, then you shall see and be radiant. Now listen to this. And your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy. And then number two, your heart shall be enlarged. Say with me, enlarged. The word heart is spirit. Which means he's saying, I will enlarge your spirit. You are not catching it. It means when you prayed for somebody and there was no sign, wonder, or miracle, that all of a sudden you can pray and there can be a miracle. Not only that, where you were trying to get a business and you couldn't get business because you didn't have the capacity. You're saying, but I'm just running a little home business. That's fine. But you don't have the capacity to put it in multinational stores. And God is saying through fasting, I will enlarge your spirits. I will increase the capacity of your spirits. And the more you fast, your capacity will begin to be increased. Are you guys with me? So it goes on. In fact, this is to give you the benefits. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. But your light shall rise upon you and it'll make you arise. His glory will come upon you. Nations shall come to you. Kings shall come to your brightness. It'll bring a fatherhood, sonship, daughters in. But there you'll be radiant and full of joy. Your spirit will be enlarged. That's where I was. Nations will come with their treasures and wealth. So I'm just giving you what is in the scripture. I'm just giving the points. Nations will come with their treasure and wealth. Camels, say with you, prosperity. The Bible says that the camels will come and cover you. So prosperity will come and cover you. Princes from Sheba will come. Now listen, this is speaking of a prophetic fulfillment because they'll bring frankincense and gold. And they brought frankincense and gold to Jesus. Now the kings that came to Jesus was figured that they came from Sheba. The queen that came from Sheba to King Solomon brought, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars to her. Ships of gold. Probably billions. Are you guys with me? But this Bible says there's one coming that is greater than Solomon. So how can Jesus be poor? And then he says, Solomon in all his glory is not even arrayed like the birds of the air. Like this one. How much more will God look after you? If Solomon was the richest man who lived, and his glory will not be compared to what God will do for you. Please understand the mindset of prosperity. You can only tap into the revelation that you understand. You can only be the revelation that you catch. Once something goes over your head, it is not for you and you're not allowed to enter into it. But once it drops into your spirit, you're legally allowed to enter into it. That is why religion is trying to stop many from receiving stuff that we can preach revelation. They just sit and they can never be what we preach. It has to go into your spirit. Say, I will be greater than Solomon. That is what the Bible says. Especially when it comes to provision. It says, if my Father in heaven provides so much more, that's greater in the glory than Solomon, how much more will our Heavenly Father not look after you? Are you guys with me? So when the kings of Sheba came to Jesus, they came with a lot of money. So have your seats. So, but the princes of Sheba here also speaks of prophetic fulfillment, meaning that once your light comes, it'll bring finances. It'll bring money from nations. Whenever a person is full of light, provision will never lack in their lives. That is why fasting is a key. Are you guys with me? The moment light enters you, how do light enter you? Fast on whatever you want, but you know, water will really get you there quick. I understand there's some medical conditions and all those things. It removes every toxin. Because believe it or not, God needs this body to reveal Himself to you. He lives in this body. So if God lives in this body, how can He come out? Things need to be unclogged. That's why fasting opens a lot of gateways to be opened. Are you guys with me? We'll get there now. So what are the benefits of fasting? Say, my light will spring forth. Number two, my healing will come immediately. Say, my healing will come immediately. I'm not going to carry on reading, but it is all in Isaiah 58. I'm just going to give you the points. My righteousness will go before me, meaning that there's a reputation of mine that will go before me. The glory of God shall be my rear guard, which means there'll be divine protection when I fast. Number five, then you shall call and the Lord will answer you. Meaning every prayer you pray will reach heaven. But he's saying you have to go through all these things. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer you. Number six, your darkness will be turned as the noonday. The Lord will speak to you continuously. Wherever you are, you will hear His voice. Are you guys with me? He will satisfy you in the drought, meaning He will satisfy you in a recession. When there is no job or nothing is happening, God will satisfy you. He will make your bones fat. Speak, spring of healing and prosperity. You will be an unfailing spring and a watered garden, meaning you'll be forever able to give out to others. You will rebuild waste places. You will, listen to this, to number 12, benefit 12. You will ride, and I'm not going to put the scriptures on. You can go read it at home if you really want to understand fasting. But you will ride on the high places of the earth. Meaning, you will have the ability to move high in the spirit. But you cannot go high if you stay dense and full of food. Are you guys with me? I mean, go through to Isaiah 60 verse 8. Let me show you where they speak of airplanes. Isaiah 60 verse 8. Listen to this. This is a prophecy about modern airplanes. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? So the prophet was seeing an airplane here, flying through the clouds, and he saw the heads of the people by the windows. Are you guys with me? Let's go back to Isaiah 58. So he says, I will make you ride on the high places of the earth. I will move you in high places in the spirit. Number 13, I will feed you. Say, God will feed me with the heritage of Jacob. What is the heritage of Jacob? The prophecy that his father gave him, that all your mother's brothers, all your mother's sons will bow before you. Your enemies will bow before you. Anyone that curses you will be cursed. Which means you begin to live under the heritage of Jacob. That any word that comes out of somebody's mouth against you will go back and come upon their lives. It is a spiritual law. You are the righteousness of God. You are the heritage of Jacob. You are the children of Abraham. Every promise that has been given to them applies to you. Are you guys with me? Zena. Stand to your feet, stand to your feet, stand to your feet. I want to pray for those with finances. I have 10 minutes. Just raise our hands wherever we are. I want to pray for you individually. So this is what the Lord said. I know it was just a quick sermon, but this is what the Lord said to me. There's a transition taking place, but there are things that we need to do to shift this transition. And those who are going to get into a season of fasting, we're going to call for a fast every Wednesday, just for one day, from the morning to the next morning, or if you cannot, the morning to at least the evening. Otherwise, the morning to the next morning, just one day fast. And some might do it no water, no food. Some might do it just water. Some might, you know, do it however they want to. But do one day of fasting. And then when we get to Pentecost, we're going to do our normal week fast before the Pentecost conference. But get into a place where your spiritual capacity can be increased, where the grace upon your life can be lifted, where your heart can be enlarged. Are you guys with me? And the Lord said to me, correcting this error. This error is happening where things are upside down. If my people learn three things, to fast, to give, and to pray, there'll be a threefold cord. But when they fast, nothing will be impossible for them. Nothing will be, there'll be a faith that comes out of them. There'll be a faith that comes out of them called the faith of impossibilities. The faith that defeats impossibilities. The faith that overcomes impossibilities. But how does this faith come out of you? By fasting. Are you guys with me? Then light will break forth. Christ is in you, but he needs to come out of you. How does it come out of you? When you break your outer man through fasting. But how do we fast? By having our motives right, by having our heart right, not to be seen, not to impress, not to be getting in fights, and even, you know, not to just make more money or all those things. You take everything in consideration because you need to break your own soul. So fasting is a brokenness of the soul, where even if you feel like your employee deserves this, you give the opposite. It is a breaking of soul, and it actually means not to feed yourself any pleasure, to remove all pleasures from fasting. That is what true fasting is. Anything that gives you pleasure, you remove, you become broken in your soul, you become humble in spirit, and then obviously you stop eating and so on. But everything is that God can see that you are hungry and you want to become like Him, you want to get closer to Him. And fasting has the ability to change somebody's life quicker than anything I've seen before. When I've seen people intentionally take a fast, their life shifts. I'm not saying just of, I'm saying when they intention, maybe long fast or however it might be. But their life changes after that. If it is intentional, if they spend time with the Lord, if they press into His presence, if they treat people right, all these things. Just raise your hands to the Lord for Him. Brekanoska redele brekenoska dele baya, berakanoska tekere dele bredonoska dele benama, lesa kena mambresko redele brekanande oska tekena ma. Hando, harano. I want to ask those who are here, and you say that you tithe in this house, that you tithe in this house. Meaning that you are a consistent tither. Now, you cannot lie right now, because the Lord is watching and the Lord will know. The only way you can fix it is by quickly tithing afterwards. You know? 20%. And no, I'm just joking. But this is for the tithers in the house. Why am I saying that? Because membership is actually tithers and tithers is members. And we want to pray. And the Lord said to me to pray for those who give into this house, who tithe into this house, who sees this house as their storehouse, to pray for a blessing to come upon them. And I'm just going to lay my hand on you. That is it. There's nothing more to it. There's not prophecies needed. There's nothing. Just laying my hand and to bless you. Blessing is a spiritual biblical principle that we see from the book of Genesis. We see how Melchizedek blessed Abraham for tithing. So we see that a blessing follows tithing. But there's usually a physical act that's just like a prophetic act that the Lord told me to do this. So everybody, and we'll jam to the front, they'll push the chairs to the back, we'll do whatever we can, and I'm going to go through quickly to lay hands. Everybody that is saying, I am. Now, if you're just a visitor and you're not a tither, you can be honest, that's fine. You just stay in your seats, you just carry on worshiping, or you may go as well, because directly after this, we're going to go. So this is nothing personal, but I want to lay hands and pray for everyone that is a faithful tither in this house. I want you to come forward for me. Begin to come and stand here in queues, and stand queues after queues after queues. Let's worship Him. And if Pastor Martin and Pastor Chris can help me pray. Father, I pray for each one here. May the anointing of finances rest upon them. May you bless their businesses. Bless their businesses. Bless their businesses. Bless their houses. Bless their bank accounts. Bless every financial situation upon their lives. I curse the work of the enemy in Jesus' mighty name. I rebuke it, and I pray that there will be no hold, there will be no limiter, poverty will not come close to them. As long as they are under this covering, may you bless them with an open heaven upon their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, I declare it as your servant, I declare it as your prophet, in Jesus' name. Bless.